In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. In the Bible, it's written that the kingdom of God is within you. Have you ever thought about what that really means? It really means if you're a peaceful person, the kingdom of God is within you. If you truly have faith and belief, the kingdom of God is within you. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord, God, and Savior, the kingdom of God is within you. If you believe the words of the prophets and trust them and heed their warnings, the kingdom of God is within you. You can be in the midst of everything that is holy. For example, some sitting in churches, some places, and the people are filled with anger. They're filled with lusts and greed. They're filled with all kinds of things. You can be an outcast in the Lord's kingdom by your own will. But the Lord is so merciful and He's so kind. And I want to extol all of you for the amount of generosity that is easily perceived when you come and look at the boxes that is meant to be distributed to the children that don't have the same kind of resource that yours do. I'm very thankful for that. Every year it makes me very happy to see that the boxes are filled to the brim. Generosity is something that comes out of the heart that feels that it has been given that which is sufficient. Not an excess, but that which is sufficient. You know, there are some people, I have friends, who are gluttons, and they will eat beyond their capacity because they enjoy the act of eating. They enjoy the food, but they are gluttons nonetheless, and they will pay for that. They will pay for that. They may pay physically first because, you know, type 2 diabetes and high blood pressure and high cholesterol and, you know, maybe atherosclerosis, who knows? But they will pay. And then they will pay again. Because you see, all of what we are benefited by through knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, we're supposed to share. We have to share. And if we fail to do that, we do not belong to Him. That's why I'm so happy to see those boxes that are overflowing. Now, you have the very generous way in which the Lord Himself prepared for His own coming. Later you will hear that Mary is given a type of consolation, being told that her near kinswoman Elizabeth has brought forth a child in her old age. Because Mary is being told wonderful things. And you will find as we go through these weeks of Kiak that the Lord in every step, He covers all of those things that may cause a natural man, and I mean a natural man, to question. Not a spiritual man. Not a spiritual man. But a natural man. A natural man is one who knows how to live. He treats his neighbor well. He doesn't want war. He's a peaceable man. He knows how to eat. He knows how to sleep. He knows how to tend to his business. He knows how to raise a family. He's a natural man, but he's not a spiritual man. Spiritual men are different. Spiritual men, for example, you can tell in the content of their prayer. A natural man is praying for his family or himself first. Very first thing. I pray for myself, I pray for my family. That's the natural man. The spiritual man, over time, leaves that behind. It's not that he has become less important to himself or his family is less important to himself, but he sees that there are bigger issues in the world and he addresses them. So now you have the archetypes. Elizabeth and Zechariah. These were spiritual men. We may use the the male gender when we speak of females, because it's not at that point. It's not at that point appropriate. It's like the word zabiha in Arabic, which is feminine, but it stands for the sacrifice of God, who is male. So there are things that you can use in this fashion. It's important to notice that they had stopped praying for a son. Zechariah was incredulous when the angel told him that your wife will conceive. It had been 40 years past her last cycle. 40 years. But it was not for this reason that the angel gave him the son John. You see, Zechariah was a great priest. A great priest. And Zechariah was praying for people. He was praying for his nation. He was praying for the world. He was praying for things that were beyond him. Now, of course, if the world improves, it makes his way perhaps incrementally a little bit better. But to pray for the world is much different than praying for yourself or your own family. It's much, much different. It's almost a gimme list. I want you to take away from me all of the things that are troubling me. I want you to give me the things that I see that in other people's hands, perhaps they've squandered, because I know what to do with wealth. If you gave me wealth, I know what to do with it. It's this kind of ego that keeps the natural man praying for himself. But Zechariah was praying for his community. And so the angel came and said, I'm going to give you something that's unbelievable. I am going to give you the harbinger. The harbinger. H-A-R-B-I-N-G-E-R. The harbinger. The forerunner. The piaprodromos. Piaprodromos. Huh? I'm going to give you this. This is what you've been waiting for. You have been praying for the salvation of your people. You have been praying for Zion. You have been praying for all of these things. Here it comes. It's now on the heels, and it's going to come from your family. And then Zechariah, it was too much for him. You know, again, sometimes with spiritual people, they don't doubt the power of God, but they doubt that God is going to do anything for them more than he already has done, because God has already done so much for me. When I count my blessings, what more is it that I am going to ask for God to do for me? How about this person over here that I see, or a person that I hear of on the news or in the media? How about that person? Extend your grace to that person. It's important that you realize that although we don't know what was going through his mind, we should make apology for this old man. And then the angel said to him, as you well know, because you have not believed, you'll be mute. Now some people say he also became deaf. So he could neither speak the word of God any longer, because the word was going to be made flesh. The word was going to be made flesh. There was not going to be any of the petitions of which they were used to. It was going to be the incarnate Logos who would walk among you, and who would teach, and who would preach, and who some would believe. You know, it's said about John the Baptist, and you already know that the Lord has himself said, there is no greater man that was ever born of woman that is greater than John the Baptist. You've also heard, now, by the way, I want to just share one thing with you, because I'm really careful about words. They didn't say that anybody isn't as great. Think about that one. you know, John may have had his peers. I don't know. I'm thinking about Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, perhaps. Pretty good prophets. Ezekiel. We just heard about the great prophet. And by the way, you should all know a minor prophet is not somebody who is held in less esteem. It's because his epistle or his prophecy is shorter. That's all. Minor prophet refers to someone who has written in a shorter, more condensed fashion than Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, or Daniel. But the Lord said he is going to turn. He is going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Why wouldn't a father listen to his child? But what is he talking about? He's not talking about anything except the apostles. Who were the apostles? They were the children of the Jews. And how many of the fathers listened to their own children? Remember what Jesus said when he was being condemned? If you say that I, by Beelzebub, am casting out devils, by then whom are your sons casting out devils? Therefore, they will be your witnesses. The children of the Jews believed in Jesus. And the children spoke. And some fathers listened and some fathers didn't listen. Even today, you have fathers that are so puffed up because of their sense of tradition, culturally, that they don't listen to children. But they should. They should. And it's in this sense, this spiritual sense, that we hear the rebuke of Saint Damiana to her father. Father, I'd rather have heard you had died than you had offered incense to idols. But my daughter, he might have replied, I was doing that only to save you. And Saint Damiana said, I'm not worried about that. I have the Lord. If you've ever been to Belkaz in Egypt, if you've ever been there, it's the most amazing altar. You have the mound in which the virgins were buried after they were all martyred. And above that, you have the altar. They died for God, and God died for them. And it's a very, very powerful, powerful thing. The monastery of Kadisa Damiana. So we're going to go through Kiak, and we're going to go into some of the symbolism in a more deep way. But I want all of you to work to nurture that kingdom that I am sure is inside of you. Work to nurture that. Work to find. If you know of any child or of any family that is poor, you tell us right away so that we can help. Because Christmas should be a time of tremendous joy in everyone's heart. And I can't think of anything more impoverished than for a parent to want to give a child something and they're not able. So you please bring it to me or any one of the deacons, and we will take care of it. Glory be to our God, both now and ever, and unto the age of all ages. Amen.